Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I am Paul.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week on the show, we continue our mini-sodes where we are going through Stranger Things Season 3. And we're currently up to Episode 5,
The Flayed. These are like the demi-dogs of episodes.
Yes, it really is. It's the tiny little ones that we're just like bolting through. We're just,
dropping them like crazy.
Yeah, it's been a bit different, but how do you guys think it's going so far? Do you think it's going all right?
Oh, us or the listeners?
You guys.
Okay. What do you think? Have you been enjoying it? Or,
please, be honest.
Yeah, we'll wait.
No, I think people have been really into it. I've had a fair few people actually talk to me about the podcast.
Really?
Because they can sit down and listen to a 20-minute episode of a show that they've watched. I'm like, well, that's exciting. That's what we want.
Yeah, that's
now,
good.
Then do you then turn around and go, you know what? We have been doing podcasts on things that you watch for a year. You could have been listening to it. You say that? Yep. Okay.
That's how you get new fans.
Yeah, you shame them.
The second exactly. Someone shows an interest, you berate them.
Yeah, exactly. You belittle their disinterest.
Belittle them, and then they're in. Yeah. You got them for life.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm not doing, obviously.
Well, that's why it's
this
not
is why our
Jason.
Podcast isn't growing, Jason.
Dean and I are committed. What are you doing?
Yeah, completely. Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's
sorry.
One of the favorites.
So what's up, losers that are out there listening to this podcast? There we go. We're going to get so many people.
What's up, dorks?
Oh, I can feel those subscribers joining.
Anyway, so we're going to get right into the plot. We're obviously on episode 5. We're on The Flayed is the name of the episode. It's chapter 5. And where do we start this episode? Where does it begin?
Well, we're in a beautiful little suburban neighborhood somewhere in Hawkins. And
are we?
Why are you making that face?
Are we?
Yes.
Look, it's been, I actually... Yeah. It's been years.
It's a laboratory. It's a laboratory.
A laboratory?
It's Hopper and Joyce find the
lab.
The secret Russian lab.
We are currently in an elevator going like screaming
down into
the basement of what's the name?
That's what I meant.
That's where we begin in Starcourt Mall.
Yes.
So we have Steve, we have Dustin, Erica, and Robin, yeah, all in the elevator, and they're trapped inside, and they didn't realize that that it was an elevator because they'd snuck in with the secret Russian base, and the elevator's taken them right down the bottom, and now they're stuck.
Yep.
Quick question:
They can't get out.
Are we still trying to stick to the 20-minute time?
We are.
Okay,
we are.
Cool.
Yes.
So if I put Stranger Things on in the background at like times 2. Then that should be a smart way to like just not miss
can
any
you
point.
Do
can
you
I?
Do times two?
Let's find out. No. No, you can't.
No.
Can you? Let's wait and I'm going to Google. Can you do times two on Netflix? I'm kidding. We won't do that. Because we're 20 minute time length.
Moving on.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway,
what happens next?
Jason, carry on.
And then we go to a farm in the middle of nowhere with Joyce and Hopper.
I can confirm that. We do.
Yes.
Thank you.
We do.
You're welcome.
And they've found a farm, and it's one of the farm properties that the mayor had let them know about. The
mayor
being bought up. All over Hawkins by this corporation, and he doesn't. Hopper and Joyce don't quite know that it's a whole conspiracy. Like the Soviet Russians are there.
Yes,
and
that's right.
At this point, but they do know that a massive guy has jumped Hopper and beat him up. So
beat the living crap out of him.
Yeah, which is is not good. So anyways, they sneak into this facility. Seems a little bit abandoned, right?
It looks very abandoned.
And then they find and they find a secret passageway that goes into a little laboratory below, and this is where we meet Alexia again.
Alexi. I like this guy. Yeah.
And he's got like a red shirt with him that's just hanging out doing his thing.
Some dirty no name.
Yeah. And then we realize that they've actually been followed by a Russian Terminator.
He is a red shirt, but he's actually wearing a black shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, excellent.
I'm here for all the important info, guys. You're welcome.
Okay.
I'm keeping us in it.
What shirt?
How you've both like misused the words important and information. Thank you.
Hey, just for a little bit more fact checking, what kind of shirt is Hopper wearing at this point?
Hopper is beautiful. Wearing the opposite of a black shirt.
It's a zesty, colorful boy.
Very, very festive.
Cutting edge.
He loves this shirt he has an emotional bond with this shirt.
It
brings a smile to his face.
This is his I've been stood up shirt, and I'm taking no crap.
Exactly.
Joyce.
Yes, he completely has
your bish.
I have had a long night of just drinking non-stop, and this is my hangover shirt. It's his hangover
shirt.
Wait,
are you talking about Hopper?
Hopper, yes.
Oh, right.
Oh, no,
I thought you were talking about yourself.
I need to get one of these shirts.
I need to get some alcohol.
So they get sort of jumped by Russian Terminator.
Terminator?
Hopper is a little bit too quick for that, and he...
It was a trap.
They have like a bit of a squabble, and there was a moment in the squabble where Joyce actually gets a gun and she throws it across to him, and it lands like really far away from him, but more so closer to the Russian Terminator. Yeah.
I was like, no!
It's so funny.
Yeah, there's something about that kind of... have you guys ever watched True Lies?
No. Yes!
Oh, yes!
Like, oh my gosh, yes! Yeah,
maybe it's because it's like referencing Arnold Schwarzenegger and that kind of thing. But for some reason, it reminded me of that scene in that movie where Jamie Lee Curtis goes to shoot the terrorist and she drops the gun and it just goes. Yeah. It just takes out everybody. For some reason, I just thought of that.
I thought of something completely different. I thought of that scene from iRobot where she shoots the robot, but her eyes are closed.
That's right.
And then Shia LaBeouf's like, her mother effing eyes were closed, man. It's like, stop. Hey, what?
You're shooting with your eyes closed.
They managed to overpower Russian Terminator for just enough time to run out of there and drop down the sort of like...
I haven't had a chance to quote iRobot in ages.
Well, there you go.
I'll watch that movie again. Yeah.
It's not really one of those movies that's like super quotable.
You think quotable movies, iRobot doesn't really come to mind.
It's not the first great line.
About 2005 Converses. That's probably the best line from that. Is like these limited edition.
I'm pretty sure that is why I wear Converses these days. Because of that movie.
That's exactly
because
right.
Because of that movie.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, getting back to it.
Sales pitch.
So they escape with Alexi, and whilst they're running away, Russian Terminator catches back up to him and opens fire on Hopper's Jeep, which is sad because he likes that Jeep. Mm-hmm. he does some mad damage to it. And then they still escape. And then we have the opening credits.
We do.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. We sort of come back in there.
Anyone want to hum the theme? There we go. It feels like the opening credits are actually...
What are you humming?
I don't know what... I don't know. I'm just humming.
That was beautiful. I feel like I was
a welcome to country in the episode.
So what happens next?
Basically,
Jonathan wakes up to a phone
call.
There's
some crap with Nancy and... what's his name? What's his name?
Jonathan.
Yeah, who cares?
Jonathan.
I'm sick of them. They're boring this
season.
That's not some crap because she's been at the hospital during the night, right? And she's called up Jonathan saying, Mrs. Driscoll's gone crazy. Mm-hmm. So, I need your help. And then Then we go back to Joyce and Alexi and Hopper, who have broken down. The car seems to fed it's too well itself. With the gunshots.
And Hopper decides to blow it up.
Yes.
Even more.
Yeah, while Alexi's like, stop. Boom.
Stop. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pelican.
Great.
Yeah, completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they're on foot from this point because they don't have any vehicles to get around.
That is what on foot means, yes.
Yeah. Is it though? Is it
a little bit?
You could be on something else.
Go on, Jason. Go on.
Anyways, you could be on a bike. They could be on bikes.
Well, then they wouldn't be on foot, would they?
They could be. They could go.
That would be called on bikes.
Yeah, they'd be on a bike.
Yeah.
They've blown up their on car, and now they're on bike, and they're on route to Illinois.
Yes.
They are hoping to be back on car
Hopper
soon.
Hopper knows someone that speaks Russian, and. I wonder who that is.
Who?
Only like the best character ever. But we'll get to that.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. So, meanwhile, we have Eleven who's trying to find, what is she trying to find?
She listens into the conversation of them walking to Illinois.
That's right. She does too.
And relays that information to the crew. And they're like, who the hell do we know in Illinois? Mm-hmm. Why are they going to Illinois? This is silly. And then, she wanders off into the bathroom with Max, and Max is having a chat with her whilst Will and the gang are having, and Mike and that are talking about, no one cares about Will anymore, really. It's just, Mike and Lucas are doing relationship chats.
Pretty much.
As Max and Eleven are doing relationship chats.
I feel like every relationship in this is like fighting at this point.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, Hopper and Joyce are fighting heaps hardcore, even though they're not officially in a relationship. And then you've got Jonathan and Nancy like a completely fighting.
Oh, yes.
Lucas and Max are fighting.
Like they're always just hostile.
And then
they're hostile. You know, there's that like there's always that hostile couple, and you're like, oof.
Yeah, but it's everyone in the series.
Everyone's fighting.
Hostile couple.
You know who's not fighting? You know who's the most rock solid couple in this series?
Who?
The Wheelers. Oh,
the Wheelers.
Wait, as really?
Wait, what?
They almost have an affair in the first.
Almost. Almost had an affair in episode one, but then for seven other episodes, so far, five, they're rock solid.
You never see them yell at each other.
They've never seen together again.
What are you talking about? Maybe.
It's a solid relationship.
You might see them again later. I don't know, but you might.
They do.
You do.
They do say that absence makes the heart grow fonder, so maybe they're spending some time apart.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like
they're just not communicating, and that's why they got the strongest relationship on the show.
Yeah, exactly right. They are the epitome of a good, healthy relationship.
Yeah, you just don't talk to each other. That's it.
That's what right. every couple
that's what
strives
I've been doing
for.
Wrong this whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
My mistake is I know everything about my wife.
Yeah, what an idiot.
Silly me.
Yeah. So, anyways, so they're all
happy.
Having relationship
Keto, happy marriage. Stop doing anything.
Yeah.
And then you can
stop contributing to
stop
that
contributing. It'll be fine.
So, yeah. Meanwhile, so Dustin and Steve and
Robin.
Erica are all, and Robin. And Robin. I keep forgetting.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
The it's four just, of them are stuck
Erica,
in the elevator.
They've been around for longer. Yeah, they're stuck in the elevator. And they're trying to work out a way out. And Erica finds this this thing of goo, this green goo. And she's like, I want to drink this kind
That's
of thing.
Right.
And Robin's like, nah, probably not a great idea. It doesn't really look like a thing that you want to drink. And she's like, well, I'm pretty thirsty. Anyways, they get interrupted by some Russians that are about to unpack some of the merchandise or whatever the delivery that came down. Yeah, merchandise. Yeah, maybe they got some
shirts
or something. Yeah.
Demogorgon thermos.
No, they got Soviet
reopen
shirts.
The gate T-shirt.
Yeah.
Get your Soviet
like
hats.
Proud to be Soviet
proud
Russian
be
or
Soviet.
Something like that. They all have to wear them though. They like it's compulsory.
A hat that just says Dostradanya.
I went to Soviet Russia and all I got with this was this T-shirt.
I went to Soviet Russia and all I got was this stupid gulag.
So anyways,
brilliant.
They open up and they unpack all the delivery and they take it down like the never-ending hallway. And before the elevator closes, Steve jumps in and he slides the
this is probably the first cool thing he's done all season.
What about the intro with Dustin Henderson?
Okay, no, that was brilliant. But this is like cool. This is like going back to his sports roots. Like he was actually okay. No, he can do things.
He can do something.
He can perform sometimes.
Yeah. And he does. It's a very sort of Indiana Jones kind slipping under the doorway kind of thing.
But then,
So they've got.
Well, then Justice Steve gets. Oh, sorry, you're about to explain it. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah. So they've got the container of goo that he's put in between the door, and it's like cracking, and it's about to break, and he just gets out in time, and then it breaks. Cool. And it turns out that was acid. Hardcore. That Erica was going to drink. And it's really, like full on acid. So it's burning right through the floor.
Such a smart kid.
She seems very smart.
Dummy? But she's not a nerd.
No, she's not. So meanwhile, back at the Wheeler's house, Nancy and Jonathan have... Yeah, they're not rock solid.
Rock solid couple. The Wheeler's.
The Wheeler's are the rock solid couple.
But not Jonathan and Nancy. Yeah. They're the...
No, they need to learn. There's a little thing they can learn from Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler.
Yeah.
Nancy's like, look, I've talked to my mum. And I think we talk too much.
I'm going to potentially have an affair, but I might not in fear.
I'll bail at the last minute, which would be good.
For our relationship, as long as we don't talk about it.
You stay here with the kids.
And then I'll get home later and we won't talk. And it'll be great.
Gives Dustin a wink.
So at this point they're like they're trying to work out what's happened still with the lifeguard, right?
Is that they're talking about Heather. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. And they realize that basically Mrs. Driscoll has obviously been infected by the mind flare.
Flare. Yep.
I keep saying mind flare.
I don't know why.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, so they realize that she's been infected. So they're going to use her as a way of trying to find the source of the mind flayer. So they're going to go to the hospital, the group of them, like all the gangs together, except for Dustin,
Steve.
Because they're talking about how they did the sauna test on Billy, but that correlated with Nancy seeing Mrs. Driscoll. And she started freaking out when Billy was getting cooked. So now they're like, they're all flayed. This is bad. There's more than those two, probably. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, Heather, she's flayed for sure. Because, you know, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to get through this really quick because we're already 20 minutes in. So, okay.
One more minute on the clock. We got this.
Stop talking. No. Alexi and Hopper and Joyce, they find their way to a gas station and they steal a car.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they drive off and they find what's his name? What's the name of that character?
Morris.
Is it Morris?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Are you talking about
Morris?
No, Murray.
Murray.
Is that Murray? Do they get there this episode or is it next episode?
Yeah, they do. They do get there this episode. Okay. But I'm sort of skipping right ahead because it's like it's too.
Yeah. Is it? Yes, episode? It is. So they steal a car. They pretend to be detectives and they steal this guy's car and off they go. And then after that, we cut back to, what's his name? Crap. The good head guy. Steve. Steve in the gang.
Steve in the gang. Steve in the gang.
Hair in the gang.
Robin and you forget.
Oh my gosh. Which is silly. And they're still walking along this freaking tunnel. It goes literally forever. And then Nancy.
This is where they start making some revelations as well, eh?
That's right.
I was like, why here? Why stupid small town?
That's right. Why Hawkins?
Thing? Yeah.
And then that's why Hawkins.
Actually, so. They first go to the Heather's house and they're trying to work out everything. And I realized that in this moment it's kind of like Aragorn finding the clues.
They were dragged over here. There was a scuffle.
Yeah, they were doing like that whole thing.
And I was They're doing tracking.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, a hobbit lay here. They were bound. Like, they were hit with a glass bottle here. And there's blood on the ground. And they were.
They've quickened their pace. That. They must have caught our scent.
That's right.
Yeah. And they realize that obviously Tom and. Well, just Tom at this point, they believe that he is one of the flayed as well.
It's actually, so, it's actually 100% technically accurate because within, it turns out, legitimately, if you spend less than a week as an intern at a newspaper agency, you instantly become ultimate detective.
Well, she was already ultimate detective.
Yeah.
Was she?
I actually just thought about being like an intern at a newspaper.
And you've already solved a crime.
Yeah.
That's
how I have.
Even though you keep mispronouncing Mind Flayer.
Yeah.
That's the crime we solved. You know what? It is a criminal offense.
It's just part of the process.
I didn't mistype it.
Yeah.
So anyway, they figure out, they Aragon the hell out of bloody Heather's family. And then we see that the Russian Terminator has arrived at the 7-Eleven. And in his really subtle ways, he figures out that they stole a car and kind of what direction they're going. And then
do we get like references to, do we start feeling a bit No Country for Old Men at this point?
Very, well? No Country for Old Men.
I was waiting for the flip a coin kind of moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Went for the cattle prod.
I didn't. So brutal.
All right.
I love that movie. That's a great movie. No Country for Old Men.
I like it.
Incredible.
But
it's not this movie, though.
One of those movies that you finish watching and you feel so depressed.
Yes.
Like when he straight up like kills that lady at the end. Oh, yeah. The spoiler for that. And you just
thanks for that, Jason.
It's sort of left up to your imagination until you realize exactly what's happened.
It's one of those movies where you don't really understand the brilliance of it until
you're old.
Thinking about it later. Until you know, and it's like, oh, actually, wow.
So you're old and until you're new country.
Yeah. So you when you watch it for the first time when you're five, you don't really understand the brilliance of it.
No.
It's not until
if you're a 5 year old girl, it's not your movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
It's not for you, Jess.
When you're watching it when you're five and you're like, why is he putting a pump up against that guy's head?
Just know that it's just
like, why is he putting tomato sauce on that man's forehead? He was just sleeping.
That's a really big sauce bottle.
That guy was just in the shower. Why did you do that?
All right. We're spiraling. Let's rally. Let's rally, boys.
Let's do it.
So,
After
Russian Terminator, we cut back to Hopper and friends, and they have arrived at Murray's place. That paranoid Murray's old place. Man. He'd understand that country problem.
I was trying to remember. Did he come in last season?
Season two.
First season?
Nancy and that other dude. Right?
Yeah, because it was like when they were trying to work out Barb's whole thing, right?
Yes.
And
he was like a reporter or something, was he? Or?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And that's so where Nancy and what's his name? Help me.
Murray.
No, the other guy.
Jonathan.
That's where Nancy and Jonathan hook up.
Oh, that's right.
He gets
he does the same thing here with Hopper.
We don't know that.
Oh, not yet.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
He's already saying that because he says it basically straight away. He's like, just stop with your lover's quarrel over there. He's already sort of trying to get in their head with Joyce and Hopper.
He might go even more with it later on. We never know.
We don't know. Anyway, Joyce does what Joyce does best, and she yells at everyone in the room.
Listen to Hopper.
And everyone falls in line, and they all walk inside. Murray will translate now because he's been yelled at. And he feels bad. Mm-hmm. But then we cut back to Steve and crew, and they're underground still. But now they've made it to the sneaky Russians' base, and they're sort of espionaging their way through all the doors and cupboards.
No one
sees them. They're wearing blue and yellow, but no Russians see them.
I know. For like, they're not really wearing the most camouflaged gear this space, like especially Erica, who stands out so much with the like yellow clothes.
Maybe they just thought that no one notices he was them. Like a she was like a give way sign or something, and then just like
yeah maybe
like,
so
like, oh, yeah. That sign's moving pretty quickly.
This cheese
weird.
All right, I can see he's wearing yellow, but I feel like I need to stop. But anyway, they sneak into a room, which is actually the radio room where they've been broadcasting this sneaky Russian signal. And the guy's very confused as to why there are four kids in the room. But then Robin starts saying the code back to him, saying that she is the silver cat. And then she keeps saying China. And then
that
Steve
really helps and makes him even more confused.
Then Steve with the words is like, and then runs with the gun.
That's right.
And actually wins a fight.
But yeah.
He does. Yeah. Two awesome things he's done in one episode.
In one episode. Which is like, he wins a fight.
The heck? He wins a fight.
What a beautiful man.
He is performing.
It's the hair.
It is the hair. Yeah. He's not wearing a hat anymore.
And Dustin doesn't let it go unnoticed. He does straight he congratulates up congratulate him on
you
it.
You actually won a fight.
Which is nice
of him.
Which
is so emasculating. Yeah.
Which is kind of why him and Dustin are kind of like my favorite duo.
It's so
like
good.
Just the way that they bounce off each other, I think is really good. But and then we have like
the unintentional undercutting of each other as well. I feel it's great.
Well, and they also, before we leave this scene, they see the contraption the Russians have built and they see the fact that they've opened the gate again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Then what?
So they've seen like the Michael Bay Transformers machine the first episode.
Good looking machine.
Yeah. Dustin and Steve don't seem very confused as to what it is, which makes Robin and Erica even more confused.
Sure.
It's like, hang on. Because then they do the whole explaining about what the upside down is and what the hole is and bring them up to speed then, right?
No.
Yeah.
That is what happens.
Yeah.
No. No?
So
they just see the gate open and Dustin and Steve are like and that's it.
Okay,
so I accidentally said already, Jonathan and Nancy have gone to the hospital to see Mrs. Driscoll and try and lead the way to where the mind flayer is. And the nurse, for some reason, she's on a different level, the nurse that's like letting them through.
Yeah, well, that's
which
the usual.
Doesn't. No, it's not.
For an American hospital, it is.
Nurses' stations, like, usually in the same level, right?
She's
How
admin.
Many American hospitals have you been to?
Scrubs.
How many have you
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Really? So the nurses' station is...
She was running admin, and also, Jason, this is the 80s.
So it's probably all one level, right?
They're all just like admin level one, and then you go upstairs and
They don't have
please.
Admin level.
Yeah, all right.
It's not as well laid out. Yep.
And plus, Hawkins isn't a big town.
'80s wasn't user-friendly, Jason. Okay.
'80s wasn't user-friendly.
There are a lot of issues.
Anyways, so she's like only two
Anything
at a time.
Anything made in the '80s just isn't
can
good.
Go in. So naturally, Jonathan and Nancy go in because I mean they're the most capable to be able to get her out of there
Absolutely.
And find their way. So they go up to the next level, and it looks like someone's been just hard at work there, killing everyone
just
on that level.
And then Jason's favorite effect starts happening.
It is not as bad as season one, I don't mind it in this episode because what they've done, they've actually paced it out correctly, so it's not just the whole screen going off and on, it's like different sections, so there's always somewhere that works kind of thing, if that makes sense.
No.
So, so it's like basically not the whole screen turning on and off. Like in season one, if you watch the very last episode of season one, it feels like the whole screen just switches on and off,
like a
kind of thing,
kind of
with
post
that effect,
strobing effect, as opposed
it is a post strobing effect that I feel like it's a combination, but I feel like they're doing it to kind of hide a lot of puppetry and stuff in that first season.
Which is fair. I mean,
that is
It is fair, but it's just really annoying.
What happens next is quite sizable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is pretty impressive. So,
the budget's clearly gone up for this show as well.
Because definitely.
What happens next?
Yes. So we have
what happens next?
Tom and I don't know the other jerk from the paper.
Let's just call him Blondie.
I'll just call him
Mr. Open Minded.
Gary Busey. Gary Abusey.
Abusey. he's there, and they're obviously being overrun by the mind flayer.
They've been flayed.
They've been flayed. And Mrs. Driscoll isn't there.
No.
So it's a trap. And they want Nancy.
What?
Not sure why. But
they want, sorry? What'd you say?
They want Nancy at this point.
Okay.
Because they're like, we're here for you, Nancy Drew. And then they like fully, they go after her. And then Jonathan's trying to protect her. And I like this scene because we've always had like this problem with Eleven being kind of the MacGuffin. Well,
she's like Superman.
Not MacGuffin, but she's like, she just like the, what do you call it? The ex machina for the show.
Yep.
And I always felt like, it was really annoying that, that she sort of just appears whenever you needed someone. Every time you need someone like to be saved, she just comes out of nowhere. And in this scene, she doesn't appear at all, which I really appreciated. And
that's right.
And so you have Nancy being attacked, and then you have Jonathan being attacked at the same time.
This was scary.
It was like usually in any other episode, you'd have Eleven just sort of appear in this moment and save the day.
And but you know what? I 100% agree. I always love it when my favorite character isn't featured heavily in an episode, for sure.
Okay,
that is a nice way of saying that. I kind of like. I always love Eleven doing her thing. Like
I do love her doing her thing, but then I also like it when actual like the characters can do something on their own.
It's more like when you build up the tension to the point. Like it's one of those like, what's the analogy like? Pulling the bow string back as far as possible before you let something like, you know, you let it go, which is when Eleven comes in. So the more tension there is behind the moment, like the bigger the danger is, like the, you know, kind of more insane moments like you can make, then that payoff of Eleven coming in and saving the day works better, I think. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It does. But then if you do it too often, it becomes cliche within the show. And it's like, oh, yeah, we'll just wait for Eleven to arrive and save the day again kind of thing. But in this scene, they actually do a lot of things to save their own skin. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. Like, because for a long part in the, like a long moment in this, I thought Nancy was going to die. And then I thought Jonathan was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And, the way that they've established the sort of hive mentality really works really well, because as soon as she hits Gary Busey in the face, is it Gary Busey in the face?
Yes.
Tom, I can't remember the actor's name. He reacts, and that's what gives Jonathan the chance to actually get out of the situation kind of thing. And that's where like Eleven doesn't fully save the day. And then both Nancy and Jonathan kill like their respective attackers.
They kind of also establish that like they're in very separate spaces and there's no way of Eleven or the gang knowing what's going on.
And that's calling, why the tension works so much better. Like it works so much better because she can't save the day.
Exactly. She doesn't know that she needs to. So
No, she doesn't. So they kill both Tom and
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Yeah, and after they die, both their bodies sort of decay and become this sludge.
Oh,
and
so gross.
Move out the doors. It's really like my description probably doesn't do it. Like it doesn't merit how actual gross this is, kind of thing. And then for some reason, it's only the two of them, right? That
are upstairs.
Like completely. Yeah, no, but it's only the two of them that become sludge.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
They become sludge and they crawl out of the rooms and they, for some reason, no one stops this, but they meet in the middle and start morphing. And then I still think this shot was really cool.
Because they see them like really follow the sludge. Yeah.
And then, and then all the lights flicker and go out. But then you just hear the low rumbling. And then all of a sudden the lights are on, hard punches in, and there's just this like Demogorgon 2.0. We don't need to do the noise.
I do that. You're welcome.
We know what screaming means.
Yeah. I did think like though the amount of sludge that came off the bodies seems to like multiply as it continues down the hallway because
as
this monster
body
is pretty big.
Does Jason?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, oh yeah, that's right.
It's like yeast. It expands.
My experience with semi-sentient sludge, Jason, is actually that it will grow
the more
exponentially.
The more you let the sludge sit, it expands. You know,
that's right. Well, it's an exothermic reaction.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
becomes a really moist sludge. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Fair enough, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's the end of this episode. And I thought it was pretty cool. I thought the tension was pretty great.
This is the first episode where it's like, all right, you know, for lack of a better term, we're in the end game now.
Yes, for sure. Well,
it's kicking off.
That, yeah. That line is going to get really old really fast.
Yeah. Wait till next episode.
Get
when we're in the end game again.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right. So let's
go
to the next episode. Yeah.
I enjoyed
it. See you in the next one.
I enjoyed sticking to the 20-minute time frame. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.